Welcome back to Raw Vegan Lens. I'm your host, Sherry Michelle. Let's go. For anything else, I have to plead with you to blend watermelon in your Vitamix, in your BlendTec, whatever. I can let watermelon sit in my fridge for days and days, but then if I just put it in the Vitamix, it is the best thing ever. There's just nothing more refreshing. And I don't even like watermelon that much. Seriously. If I had to eat that, it'd be like choking it down. But put it in the Vitamix and it is just phenomenal. And I've done watermelon juice and I don't really like that either. Isn't that weird? It's just, I need that fiber in there. But I don't know. There's something just insanely refreshing about blended watermelon. Blend it seeds and all, you're good to go. My dog is a little frustrated though, because she loves when I'm cutting up watermelon and giving her some. And so I brought this in after I blended it, the rest, after giving her a few pieces. And she's like, I still smell it. Where is it? You have some and you're not sharing it. Poor baby, she's kind of pouting. I'm cheating. I'm cheating her out of her pieces of watermelon. Okay. So I left my job. Woo! Oh my God, you guys. Ah. It's really weird that in the way that it helped me with my grief. Here's my advice to you if you're grieving really hard. Go take a very hard job, and between the soul-sucking nature of it and the passage of time, you'll come out of that in a very different place. Yeah, I still miss the hell out of my niece, Devin, every day, but I am definitely in a different place because leaving that job, like being free of it, it was really depressing me being there. I just had no life, and the repetition, the boredom, there's only about, I don't know, maybe 20 things you do when you turn a plane, and just doing those same things over and over and over, 6-7 times a day, just back to back to back. Yeah, people with ADHD, again, do not do well with repetitive work. So having left that job, I feel very free. I'm working on a lot of other things. Like my day is packed. My days still aren't long enough to do everything I want to do. And that's just probably the way I am, the way I'm wired. But it feels so good to be free. I'm so much happier. I meditate for an hour a day in the morning. I get up early and do that. The first day I got up at 4. I'd like to continue doing that. I meditate, I do some self-hypnosis, I listen to some music that is really good vibrationally. So I start my day off really in a great place. And what am I doing for work? Well, a lot of different things. Don't be afraid to start over. God, I'm going to be 54 in a couple weeks here, and I've started over many, many, many times, and it's liberating. It just is. So I'm doing this viral envelope thing that I heard about on TikTok. I went all in on that, and it takes about 8 weeks to actually make some money from it for it to all like catch up the processing of it. But I feel really good about it. Do I want to do that indefinitely? No, that's a lot of writing. And it feels weird to be an author and say, I'm writing, you know, that's, everybody's like, oh, I'm writing. Well, if I was putting that kind of time in on writing fiction, I'd have a lot of books out there. So not exactly the kind of writing I want to do, but it's going to enable me to keep starting my day really nicely and doing some other things. I'm still trading. I don't know if I explained this to you, whether I did tell you how I had figured out what what my problem was with trading. Like, why am I not further along with that? So I took Terry Igioma's trade and travel course back in, let's see, I believe it was 2021, fall of 2021. And then I set it aside. I studied really, really hard, kind of, you know, was getting it, but set it aside when I started doing animal communication. Did that for, what, a year and a half? And then picked it back up again this winter and connected with a couple of other trade and travel students. And so we Zoom once a week and talk about our trades and chart together and things like that. So one of the women has done the two levels. It was originally two levels, the basic and then the VIP. And they were 2,000 each at the time. And I took the first level, but not the second. The first was what I could afford at the time. Well, they've since combined them, and the whole thing is 10 grand. I'm pretty sure I've told you this before. So great program, but if you got in when you could take just one level, like I did, you only learned trading on the upswing. So you have to wait for certain stocks to hit their, whatever you're trading, to hit its buy zone so that you can buy in and then ride it up and then get out. And the second level of the course, the VIP, was options and shorting, which is trading on the way down. So if you don't take that second, if you haven't had that second half, the VIP half, then you're always waiting for things to hit the buy zone. So I finally figured that out, and I ran it past the woman who has done both levels, and she's like, yeah, that's exactly it. So it was good in the respect that I'm like, okay, I'm not stupid. Like, I know how to trade. I did figure this out. I did study hard. I did learn. I mean, there's always more to learn with it. Excuse me. But now I have to teach myself how to short and do options so that I can trade going down also when the stock's coming down. So and again, that course is 10 grand now. So like, I know it was good that I got in when I did. And then it is a fantastic course. It's just the best teacher I've ever had, Terry Igioma. So I do recommend it. and email me if you want an affiliate, the link through me. Happy to share that. And my email is sherry.meshal@gmail.com. So still trading. And I'm doing a little TikTok shop again, doing some TikToks. I'm reading Johanna Brandt's The Grape Cure, which I read for you guys. So I'm finishing that up. And so that's what I'm doing. And, you know, who knows? I may have to go do a little door dashing until, you know, the envelopes start, dropping payments. I'm willing to do that. I'm so willing to do whatever I need to do to just work for myself again for a while, except animal communication. I'm still not, I just don't see myself doing that again just because of the grief factor. You just deal with a lot of really intense emotions in animal communication, and I just don't feel like I can carry that for people. And I don't, you know, it's funny because my favorite animal communicator, if you get a chance, look up Shirley Hyatt. She's been doing this since she was a baby. She just naturally had this going on. And I mean, we all do, but she really did. She is just the most sunshiny. She reminds me of Devin a little, actually. Just a very positive person. And I don't see her carrying clients' grief. And clients do ask her about sad things regarding their animals, but I've seen her in lives on TikTok, and she just sees things very differently. And I was also seeing things differently, but I couldn't get my clients to do that. And in a live, it's different, I guess, because you're not talking directly to them, you're responding to messages. So maybe that's a big part of it. But again, she's been doing this her whole life, so I really just adore her. And she's very funny and just very, very honest and open. And I don't see myself wanting to do that work. It's still absolutely love animals, of course. In fact, my last night of work, there was a tornado at the airport, if you can believe that. It was the craziest last day of work because, like I said, there's about 20 things that you do on a plane when you turn it. You know, you're getting all the luggage off. You're uploading all the luggage for the next flight. You're draining the lavs. You're draining all the poop from the plane. For anyone who's ever pooped on an airplane, that has to come out. It's not my favorite part. You fill the water, the potable water, all the water that's used on the plane. Blue juice for the toilets, you fill that. All of that's done like underneath the plane with hoses and stuff. You're taking the claim at gates up to the jet bridge, and bringing them down and connecting. You're connecting the tow bar. You know, you're wing walking the plane in, you're wing walking it out, you're pushing the plane out. So a lot of things. Not really that many things too. That was the problem, that it wasn't enough. But on my last day, I got assigned, because we were also having an audit on my last day. They were kind of like in danger of losing the contract. And so they were being audited. And my boss was like, I put you on lavs and water, because I was like, hey, it's my last day. Is everybody excited? And he was kind of mopey about it because he just doesn't want me to leave, or didn't want me to leave. But he said, hey, I put you on lavs and water all day. And I was like, you're nuts. Like, and then I looked at the board and he really had. It's like, why would you do that? So he was like, are we good? Are we cool? We're okay. He's like, you seem mad. And I'm like, well, why did you put me? Okay, who wants to empty poop all day on every plane? Come on. But he said it was because he didn't trust the guys to do it like by the book. And he didn't want to screw up the audit. So he knew I would do it by the book. So I said, okay, I get it. Whatever. Just give me, I'd wear this whole costume. We never wear an apron. We never wear like a face shield. I had to wear the whole thing. Anyway, there was that. There was a tornado. I had to go empty the lab cart, which I usually didn't have to do. It's no picnic. Trust me. You can imagine. During the tornado, so the guys are all like, get in the Alaska office, which is like in the kind of the center of the building, and it's a safe space. So I'm in there with the dispatcher. I grabbed a dog that was in the hallway in a crate and pulled him in there with me. Hi, Benzo. And figured, what are they going to do, fire me? Broke a rule and texted his owners to let him know, his mom and dad know, like, hey, your dog is with me during this tornado. They were on a plane on the tarmac. Or no, they were upstairs. They were waiting for a flight to go out. There was a plane, though, that turned back that was sitting on the tarmac during the tornado, which had to have been very scary. But because it sounded like a train going through the hallways, just like they always say, yeah. So I sat with Benzo. And all the guys that said to get in the Alaska office to be safe, they were all by the door of the break room watching everything. Some were outside taking video. And it was just crazy. So then they sent me some video afterwards. And wow. So what a last day. And yeah, so on that note, I still love animals enough to break rules and take them with me to the safe space. And make sure that their parents know they're okay. Still in my heart. So, where am I with raw? Hello, what's this podcast about? Raw veganism, not planes, not jobs we've left, not animals. Whatever, it's about everything. I have been raw like till 4, till 5, till 6, whatever, whenever Gabe gets home since I left the airport. So yeah, I get the raw till 4 thing. It's so easy to do breakfast and lunch. And then when the evening comes and your partner's home and you're in front of the TV, because that's what you do, tend to do at night, that's hard. So for any of you out there struggling with being raw in the evening, I'm right there with you. I really still want to give fruit a year, though. I really, really do. It's funny. I feel like you have to. I've compared going raw to being born, because you go through this like really uncomfortable space with it. You're like, you're in your little comfy space with your cooked food and all your comfort foods, and then you have to go through this tight space when you go raw, and it's uncomfortable, and you just want to go back the other way. And but if you tough it out, then a whole new world opens up to you. See what I mean? And I'm having trouble with raw at night. So I really do feel, though, with the things that I need to heal, giving fruit a year just seems like the simplest, smartest thing to do right now. So what do I have to heal? I have these knobs at my distal finger joints. They're most obvious on my middle finger, but also on my index finger. And I looked it up, and it's a type of arthritis that's forming. And I guess to most people it's not noticeable, but it's extremely noticeable to me. I think it's really ugly. So that's a little thing. Also, my hands are so stiff and sore when I wake up in the morning. And it gets a little bit better as the day goes on, but it's probably that same arthritis. I want nothing to do with that. I don't want that in my life. Who does? I still have the myasthenia gravis. It's not giving me any trouble right now, but we know that's an autoimmune issue. And obviously I've been able to reverse those symptoms a number of times. I don't have any symptoms right now, but I want to keep it that way. I don't ever want that to come back. I don't ever want to feel weak like that again. And I definitely struggled with it from time to time over the last 10 months that I was working full time at the airport. But right now my strength is good. I don't even have the droopy eyelid right now. So doing something right. I'm still diabetic. I've reversed diabetes 5 times over the last year. And let's see, it's probably 14 months since, it was the end of May in 2023 that I discovered I was diabetic. My doctor's been really great, really understanding. I'm supposed to have the A1C test, which is like a 3-month cumulative at the end of August. So I really got to get my act together for those numbers to come out decent. Because she's been extremely patient with me. And I'm just right, just barely over the line with the last A1C test. So I have to admit, though, so when my schedule changed, in at the airline, you bid on your next schedule. It's like every couple of months you do a bid. And even though I ranked very high in seniority, because they'd hired a bunch of new people, for some reason they decided to put them all in mornings and I got bumped to evenings. Probably told you a little bit about this last episode. But so I was working a very different schedule. By 11 o'clock at night, I was so tired. I absolutely hated that last plane. It's just like doing a turn in your sleep, which isn't even safe. And then I get off of work at 1:30 in the morning, have to sleep in my car. By the time I got home, because it was 2:30, 3 o'clock, and there was no parking until about 6 when people started going to work. So I was dealing with that for the last few weeks. That was just the icing on the cake. So, yeah, I forgot why I had to tell you that. But anyway, my sleep has not been great. It's much better now that I'm out of there. And I guess that was having to do with, oh, I was confessing to eating terribly. Those last few weeks of work on that night schedule, after that last plane, I was so hungry and it really pissed me off ending up that hungry that late at night. Nobody wants to be like famished at 1:30 in the morning. But everybody was, we all were, it's hard work. So you would eat junk on the way home. Yeah. So I was really disappointed with myself, but I just couldn't seem to get it together. The more disappointed and frustrated I was, the angrier I was, the worse I ate. It's just a terrible habit, but that's where I was. So while I'm not completely raw right now, I'm definitely eating much better. And quite frankly, Gabe and I are kind of going through like a honeymoon phase, having me be back at home. Like, he's happy. My dog Jebby is happy. She's over the moon. Everybody's happy. My birthday's coming up. I'm going home to see my family. I'm really excited about that. He was like, what do you want to do for your birthday? I really want to see my family. Like, it's so weird, how ironic that during the 10 months I was working for an airline, I saw my family the least because I was on such a tight leash with that schedule. It was really tough. And I was so exhausted that when my days off came around, I just wanted to like breathe and not take a trip. That being said, I did go to Missouri. Last little kind of day trip, I ended up spending the night, but I went to see my cousin Sharon in Missouri and her husband Dave, and they came and picked me up, and I got to see my cousin Kimberly and her family, and it was awesome. I ate things I never eat, but I don't know what that is. It's like being around other farm kids. I don't know what that is. Oh God, this is terrible. I haven't had fried chicken in, I don't remember the last time. It's probably been like a decade or something. And I had fried chicken. I feel like an alarm just went off upstairs. It should. There should be an alarm going off. Red alert. I ate a really bad thing. I'm just still like processing what that was all about. Like, I don't know why I ate the way I did when I was with them. There was a certain freedom there, a certain acceptance, I guess, because my cousin Sharon and I just love each other so much. And we've been through hell with grief the last year and a half, because her son died right before my niece Devin did. And so she's been the person that I could talk to the most, I guess, my niece Nikki too, but I don't know, she's just so open about it, and we were just able to share so much. And even now, like on this trip, we just stayed up all night, so it was really, really good. I ate some terrible things. I had a breakfast sandwich, I had that fried chicken, you know, but I just have to like look forward. I'm just a human being, and that is the food that I grew up on. And I'm amazed and dazzled by the people that are just able to leave it behind and never look back. That has not been my experience. But again, I think giving fruit a year, what I've noticed is that fruit isn't my favorite thing. It's a big decision, but I can't imagine that after a year, on that 366th day, you're going to want deep dish pizza. You're going to be in a completely different place mentally, spiritually. And the spirituality is a big piece of this decision, because everyone says fruit is a spiritual awakening. Fruit is a spiritual journey. And do I want to be a fruitarian for life? No. I believe that Ronnie from the Love Fruit podcast, if you have not listened to the Love Fruit podcast, you have to. I believe that he has greens also. But like when he does a salad, the cherry tomatoes are his dressing. This is like a little Ronnie trick that I've noticed, which is super cool. And by the way, fruit, you know, there's a number of fruits that people perceive as vegetables. And those are the things, you know, your savory meal that you probably want to have at night. That's what I'm wanting at night is savory. Tomatoes, avocados, cucumbers. So that I think can help a lot, especially having that avocado fat at night. Now I'm talking like a half an avocado to stay within your 80-10-10. At least that's what I'd like to stick to. I have a friend who said something about sometimes I have 5 avocados a day. It's like, oh my God, we're all on our own path, but 5 avocados a day is not good. That's just not, that is fat. This whole good fats, bad fats thing. Yes, no. Yeah. Fried chicken's very bad fat compared to an avocado, but come on, that's a lot of fat, 5 avocados. And that's still hard on your body. When I say fat is fat, like that's a harder thing for your body to process. So I want to ask if there's anyone else out there who is raw vegan, who also is ADD or ADHD, because I've never gotten to talk to someone who is dealing with this challenge while trying to become raw also. And I'm just curious, like, is it just me? Is it just this hard for me? Because, not because I'm impulsive or, forgetful. Is it just me, you know? Or is the impulsivity and the forgetfulness, like I literally forget that I'm supposed to be reversing diabetes, again. So I don't know how that's possible, but I do. Like I forget. So I would really like you to reach out to me so that we can just chat a little bit about your experience. If you're ADD or ADHD and you're trying to become raw or you are raw, again, my email, sherie.meshal@gmail.com. So, by the way, I had like 26 downloads. I don't know what is going on with you guys out there. If you're tuning in because you just want to hear someone fail at raw, I'm totally fine with that. That occurred to me today. Like, what if they're, you know, having a hard time and they just want to hear somebody else is having an even harder time with it? I could see myself doing that. Totally fine with me. Whatever your reason for being here, thank you. But I am determined to give fruit a year. I just know that it's going to take me to a completely different place. And I'm 99% sure I won't want to continue being fruitarian when those 365 days are up. But maybe you can still be fruitarian and do greens. I just can't imagine though not having nuts. And, you know, even my my soups have, you know, cashews in them. So I'd really like to come back to soups and, oh, Lissa Ramondi's wraps. Melissa Maris is what she goes by now. Her wraps, I mean, that's that and the soups that I've perfected make raw totally, you know, doable. So I'm not willing to give those up for longer than a year. And I can just about bet that I'm going to figure out a way to make some kind of, you know, I could still make the tomato soup, just not with all the spice and the cashews. So probably be some variant of that. I don't know. And maybe you don't need to be militant about it. Maybe you can have herbs and spices. But, you know, with my soups, I tend to want to put in, like, some hot sauce. And see, this is the thing, too. If I just commit to fruit, then I don't have to navigate that gauntlet of, you know, take it easy with the tahini, Sherry. Take it easy with the nuts. Take it easy with the... I don't seem to be able to do that very well. So I think fruit will simplify things to a place where I need them to be to heal these things, heal my gut. You know, I still am dealing with candida and bloating. You know, it gets better, it gets worse, it gets better, it gets worse. If I did fruit for a year, it would definitely straighten that all out. So that's the plan. Have I done anything with the GoFundMe yet? No. The GoFundMe that I set up so that I could go to True North and fast for 40 days. I'm so chicken to put it out there because I just still, I feel like I'm still in shock that it would now be 10,000 instead of 5,000, which is what it was just a few years ago, for me to be there for 40 days. And that does include, like, you know, my bills for the month, but because I wouldn't be able to work. Well, yeah, they say that the people that work while they're there doing the fast don't benefit as much as the people who rest and, you know, take it easy and let their body heal. So I know I need to put it out there. I'm just still thinking it over because it just seems like so much to ask. But if you go look for it, it's called Help Sherry Do a 40-Day Fast at True North Health Center. So I haven't even looked in there. I have it at 9,600 for the goal. So yeah, I don't have any donors yet, but how would I? No one even knows it exists until right this second. I'm just going to have to sit with this for a little bit longer because I know that people ask for more and for all the different kinds of things. Maybe after I have 30 days of fruit under my belt, I will feel maybe this is low self-esteem or something. I don't feel like I deserve it or that I've earned it. I feel like I have to earn this, the privilege of putting this GoFundMe out there. I mean, it is a lot to ask, but then again, maybe it's one of those things where if everybody gives a dollar, it happens. I don't know. It's such a funny thing, the time that we're living in, right? Technology and just the power of the internet and love. So I think that's everything I wanted to cover. I hope you guys are doing great. Whatever your raw journey is, just give yourself a pat on the back. Seriously, if this was easy, everybody would do it. Wouldn't that be something? But if we were all meant to do the same thing and be on the same path, that's what would be happening. We're not. We're all meant to have a different path, our own path. And we're meant to help each other and love each other and support each other. So thank you for being here and supporting me. You could have done a lot of things with this 34 minutes, but you chose to be here with me. And that means so much to me. Again, I don't know why you listen. And one of these days, I'm going to shock you and it's going to be edited and we're going to have music. But right now, with it being this simple, for me just to jump on at a moment's notice and just record with my phone and get it right out there to you, that's what keeps me going with this. It's kind of mind-blowing that it's been several years now. But thanks for listening. Love you guys.